Hello everyone and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Katowska and I will be your host. This is the UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of study, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions, we will have guest speakers, and what's most important, we will exercise together. Yes, you heard me right. In every episode, we will have a healthy dose of exercises that we will do together. So we won't just talk about fit life, we will actually experience the fit life together. Are you ready? Then let's go. Holistic versus controversial medicine, what's the difference? This is the topic of today's show and the question that we will try to answer. Holistic healthcare is a form of medicine that treats the whole person, treating not the physical self only, but also the emotional, spiritual, and mental facets as well. Whereas conventional medicine seeks to provide treatment for pain or the alignment, holistic healthcare focuses on both treatment and prevention. The current millennium is experiencing a revolution which umbrellas how we perceive health. I would like to welcome Sneha, who is a registered pharmacist. She's working in education and training as well. She has specific experience in designing, developing, and delivering workshops for pharmacy professionals using communication and presenting skills. Alongside her journey within the pharmacy industry, Sneha has a personal focus on holistic health and well-being, where she's also qualified in homeopathy, exploring the differences between mainstream and holistic medicine. Sneha, welcome to the show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello.
Hello, is that Natalia?
Yes, Natalia. Hello, Sneha.
Sneha, yes.
Sneha, very nice to meet you. And welcome
and to you. Life. Thank you.
Thank you so much for accepting the invitation. On my behalf and behalf of UK Health Radio, we're very glad to have you. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm really well and, you know, so excited about this. And I'm just so sorry that we had to cancel it because of my Wi-Fi. So thank you for your understanding.
That's, of course, no problem. It happens. Those are the things we cannot control. Technology is something that, unfortunately, sometimes fails us. So yes. No problem at all. I'm glad to have you this week.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm very delighted to talk about that. One of my passions.
Amazing. So tell us, why this passion and how did it start? Just introduce yourself to our listeners, if you can.
Yeah, of course. To be honest, I came upon it by accident. I started my professional career as a pharmacist, I have to say, not entirely through personal choice. When I was 16, my parents, who are traditionally of Indian ethnic origin, presented me with a list of 5 career choices that they thought were reputable and appropriate. And I was expected to choose from that list. Unknown to them, my childhood dream, of course, was TV or radio presenting. And funnily enough, that was not on that list of 5. And I chose pharmacy because at the time, for me, it was like the least of all 5 evils that was on that list. So I graduated as a pharmacist. And in fact, when I started working as a pharmacist in community pharmacy, I found that I actually quite enjoyed talking to patients and the public and advising them on how to use their medicines and recommending products when they had symptoms. But about 2 or 3 years into practice, a member of my family developed a skin condition called psoriasis. It was quite serious. And unfortunately, with modern medicine, the skin condition got far worse, to the point that my relative stopped leaving the home because they were so worried about how the psoriasis made them look and feel. Their parents, in desperation, sought the help of a holistic practitioner. And in this case, it was an Ayurvedic Indian practitioner. And the skeptic in me thought, this can never work. And to my utter amazement, a few months into treatment, the psoriasis had started to heal. And within about 18 months, it was almost completely gone. And that really did shake my belief about what modern medicine can do, that clearly one size does not fit all, and that it doesn't have all the answers. And that really ignited my curiosity about the alternatives. And that led me to reading about homeopathy and trained as a homeopath.
So can you explain us, what's the homeopathy about? What is it exactly?
Yes. So homeopathy was founded by a German doctor called Samuel Hahnemann, who practiced medicine in the 18th century. At a time when the kind of medicines that were used to treat illness, we would now describe as poisons. So as an example, mercury, which we used to have in thermometers, was used to treat a condition called syphilis, which is a sexually transmitted disease. But what Samuel Hahnemann noticed is that although many people were being cured of their symptoms, many suffered very serious and horrendous side effects. And he wanted to explore how they could treat illness and reduce side effects. So a theory he came up with is, if they started to dilute the medicine somewhat, make it not so strong, would it still have curative effects? Would that reduce the side effects? And that's exactly what they started to find, is that as they started to dilute the medicine, the symptoms still cleared, but the patients were experiencing fewer side effects. And they were diluting the medicines to the point that the active ingredient, it was almost unidentifiable that there was any active ingredient left in the remedy, yet it was producing a curative effect, and now there were no side effects. And they found that the more dilute the remedy, the more powerful it seemed to get. And that's how Hahnemann underpinned the first principle of homeopathy, which is using very dilute medicines, but which avoid the side effects.
Right.
The other thing, yes, the other thing he explored is that he decided to take the medicines himself, and he gave them to his medical team to discover, what does a medicine do when you give it to healthy people? And so when they all took mercury, they found they all got syphilis. So that's how he came up with the theory, the principle that like cures like. That something that produces a set of symptoms can be used to cure those same symptoms in someone who's unwell.
So, you know, speaking about the medicine and the mainstream medicine, how would you describe it for just like a basic listener who doesn't have any clue about, you know, what actually conventional mainstream medicine is all about? So very like blindly, how would you describe it?
Are you asking about mainstream medicine?
Correct.
Yeah. You know, I have to emphasize, we need both mainstream and holistic therapies because we do need to strike a balance between the two. With mainstream medicine, you know, I'd have to say, in an emergency, if I had a heart attack, I'd hope that somebody would dial 999 and call for an ambulance, because I genuinely believe it might save my life. And we know that life expectancy in this country has increased significantly in the last 40 years. And we've had so many advances in treating serious illness. So, for example, if you look at cancer, Cancer Research UK has reported that cancer survival rates have doubled in the last 40 years. We're also getting better at looking after preterm babies. So a baby born at 24 weeks now has a 60% survival rate. And we're investing an awful lot in medical research. So there's a lot going on in something that's called genomic medicine, which is used to predict the kind of illnesses that someone might be susceptible to, or the treatments that they're most likely to respond to. And they're doing that by looking at someone's genes. So this in the future is going to help fight rare diseases and cancers. So there is a real place for modern medicine. The question is...
Just describe it for a very basic listener. What is, in a few words, mainstream medicine?
So mainstream medicine is really looking at how do we help to treat physical symptoms of illness, things that you can see and observe. So, you know, I've mentioned cancer. So you can see what happens in cancer. You can see what happens when someone has diabetes. So the medicines that we use are to treat those physical symptoms.
So can we say it's based on scientific some proofs, explanations that actually we can understand with our intelligence brain?
Yeah, so medicines are only released onto the market for use when they've undergone extensive trials. So people will have used them in, they'll have done clinical trials to see what does the medicine do and how safe is it. And they will look for improving symptoms, and then they will publish that research. So there is evidence to say, what does this drug do? How will it treat these symptoms? What can we expect will get better because we've taken this medicine?
Mm-hmm. And so now, with your background in pharmacy, what does the holistic health and medicine and well-being mean to you, and what does it do in all compared to mainstream medicine?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So what I've just said is that modern medicine focuses mostly on physical symptoms, but what about emotional well-being and mental health symptoms? Because those are absolutely linked with our physical symptoms. So in modern medicine, there is treatment for mental health, of course, but we often treat symptoms and conditions separately. So we'll have a medicinal treatment for a mental health issue, and then another medicinal treatment for a physical complaint, like a skin condition. But what holistic health recognizes is that well-being is about harmonizing those signs and symptoms which exist physically, mentally, and emotionally. And then we view them as part of one single symptom picture. So when this is what we mean by treating the whole person.
Do you think, is holistic medicine effective? And is it even, if I can use that word, real or believable?
Yeah. And I think that this is one of the contentions about holistic therapy. Let's take the example of a stomach ulcer. So there are lots of effective treatments at helping to heal a stomach ulcer. But the medical profession will also acknowledge that one of the common causes of stomach ulcer is stress. So what holistic therapy will see is that the stress is often a maintaining cause of that ulcer. If you don't treat the stress and the mental and emotional issues that exist within that stress, then you risk the ulcer coming back, because what you're not addressing is the whole symptom picture. So what holistic therapy is designed to do is to look at not just the ulcer, but also all the other accompanying symptoms, and then treat them as a whole. If you're looking at, you know, examples of this, I once had a parent come to me whose child had a verruca in their foot, which is a viral illness which causes quite a lot of pain, and it's you can see it as a little black dot in the foot. And this child had had this verruca for more than 6 months, and they'd been using treatments from the pharmacy in that time. And the verruca just got steadily worse, and the child could barely walk on this foot. And I asked the child not only about the symptoms of the verruca, but I also asked them about their emotional well-being at the time, any mental symptoms that they were describing. And I prescribed based on all of those symptoms. The mother rang me a couple of days after giving the child the remedy, because she was a bit concerned that the skin around the foot had started to split and break open. And I managed to reassure the parent that that did seem to be a sign that the remedy was working. About a week later, the mother rang me to say that over the course of the next few days, the splitting of the skin had got noticeably worse. The skin had started to get dark and black. And then suddenly the verrucas fell out. And so she called to thank me that the remedy had in fact worked and that the verrucas had disappeared.
Very interesting. So what was the final comment of that lady?
So she called to ask what, if anything, did we need to do about the broken skin. And so I just provided some advice on some, healing creams to allow the dry skin around the foot to heal, and that it was likely to heal within the next week or so. Come back to me if there's still a problem. And I didn't hear from them again. So I can only assume that the verrucas had completely healed, and I wasn't likely to have to see that person again. The critics will tell you, of course, that perhaps it was a coincidence, but I think for me, it was more than that.
Mm-hmm. So, observing the past 2 up to 3 years, thinking of COVID and people suffering, what would be your opinion about the holistic and the mainstream approach to that situation we faced and we're still facing?
Yes. So, I've described that homeopathy and holistic therapies look at mental, emotional, and physical health. And we know that lots of people who have recovered from COVID are experiencing things like long COVID. And homeopathy and holistic therapies are really good at treating people, perhaps who don't have specific symptoms, but they have a general sense of not feeling great or a weakened immunity. So they might present with, symptoms of colds and flu. They seem to be catching everything going. They might report low energy, tiredness. And we see a lot of these symptoms with long COVID, for example. So homeopathy and holistic therapies can, I think, really help with that. A few months ago, I was talking to a GP who explained from their experience that people with mental health or emotional issues and eating disorders had increased by over 40% during the pandemic, and particularly with teenagers and adolescents. And I think the strength of homeopathy is that there's an equal focus on mental and emotional health as well as physical symptoms. It's actually about strengthening people's immunity and building people's resilience.
Right. So would you be an advocate of holistic also approach in terms of healing from perhaps post-COVID side effects, or just in general, you know, in terms of health? I think the holistic approach is something that is worth considering, isn't it?
I think so. It's not going to help everyone. You know, I think this one size fits all is really important. In many cases, homeopathy will help. Sometimes homeopathy is not the answer, and it might be another holistic therapy. And sometimes conventional medicines work. I think it's about being able to identify what's going to help this person the most. And I think that those presenting with long COVID tend to have symptoms that often respond really well to holistic therapies, because long COVID isn't just about physical symptoms. Actually, it affects how people feel. They often seem to have low immunity, having had COVID. COVID has somehow weakened their immune system on a more general level, and somehow their immune system needs a bit of a kickstart to get them back to the health they had pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm. What is the difference between the homeopathic and holistic medicine? Because you mentioning both words, the terminology is there. So I would like to know a little bit on a closer look, what's the difference?
So holistic therapies is a group of therapies which look at symptoms as a whole, not just physical, but looking at the person's well-being and their mental health as well as physical symptoms. Homeopathy is one of those examples, and there are others. So I've mentioned Ayurvedic treatment, which is an Indian herbal, Indian herbalism. That is holistic. So holistic is a term used where we treat the whole person and not just single symptoms.
It's like an umbrella term, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you described that really well. That's the word I was looking for. It's an umbrella term to describe how you treat somebody as opposed to the treatment itself.
So, you know, living in the 21st century, how can we protect our physical and mental, emotional health from all these crazy diseases that we're facing and problems? And you know, it seems like human health these days are very, I would say, put on danger.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that COVID has really awakened us to all of that, hasn't it? And I think that medicine, whatever form you approach it, has a role. But I think that we all need to look after ourselves in other ways. So how do we improve our well-being on a general level? It's not just about medicines. It's not just about holistic therapies. It's what do we do to look after ourselves? You know, if you look on the Mind Charity talks about the five ways to well-being. You know, it is about connecting with people. It's about, yes, it's about being active and exercising. Yes, it's about taking notice of your surroundings and being, you know, appreciating the life that surrounds you. I think it's taking a very, you know, we mentioned the term holistic, and I think it's about having a holistic view of how we live our lives and what we do to improve our well-being.
Right, because this holistic word is very commercialized these days. So
yes,
we want to make sure that people understand fully the meaning of it. It's not just, you know, we see, you know, everywhere, holistic,
yes, yeah,
holistic, which is great. It's fantastic to spread that awareness and knowledge. But I just want to make sure that people understand fully what is the holistic approach or medicine. It's just deeper than just a word or just doing yoga. It is a part of it, like we just spoke,
yes,
umbrella term, but it's very important to search for deeper meaning of it.
Yeah, so yes, absolutely. It's not just about exercise and diet. I think that one of the things that we probably need to do much more of is connecting with others and possibly one of the reasons why we have, there is so much mental and emotional health issues post-COVID is because, of course, during the pandemic, during lockdown, we weren't able to connect with others in the way that we needed to. But I think that sense of belonging to a community, connecting with family and friends, is absolutely vital to our well-being, because we all need that to keep us, you know, for our own emotional well-being. So I don't think that we can undermine these simple things that we can do that actually have a beneficial impact on our health. Mm-hmm. Yes, when we're not feeling well, we need to think about therapies and medicines. But even when we're well, there are things that we need to do to keep ourselves that way.
Right. What would be those things that we have to do even when we're well? Because that's the problem also I see when people start to take care of their health once things go wrong. But what to do in order to prevent it? How to protect ourselves before it's too late, or before, you know, we start to actually experience physical, yeah, and mental problems?
So I think it's about, we often talk about needing to take time out for ourselves, and we see it as a luxury, but I think I see it as a necessity. I think you do need to take time out to let your mind relax, and this is where, you know, relax, take notice of what's happening around you rather than being on your laptop, on your device all the time. Go out for the walk, not just for the exercise, but so that you're able to connect with your environment. Learn something that makes you feel that you've achieved something, and you do something that distracts you from things that cause you stress. So learning is such a vital part of what we need to keep ourselves mentally and emotionally stable. So it's about, how do we live with the stresses in our lives, and how do we create little time so that we can for a while just distract ourselves from that, because we know that stress has such a negative impact on our well-being and often is the trigger for not feeling so good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a huge advocate, and I encourage people, because I tend to do it to overwork too much or train too much.
Yes.
Which is contradicting to also what my profession is. But sometimes overworking, overdoing creates burnout. And there are moments when I feel like it. And what I do very often, I just quickly look for some flights somewhere, or even so just get away like a few days.
Yes.
2-3 days.
Yes.
Go somewhere, completely change your environment. Try to maybe observe the nature, be with yourself, with your thoughts, and just slow it down, which is very difficult. I found it very difficult in 21st century in London, where we're running up and down all the time, to take that time for ourselves and just to force to stop. Even in the, yeah, middle of the biggest project, sometimes it's just very important to be like, you know what? I don't care. Let me just, yes, take three of them. That's what I always encourage people very, very deeply to be able to stop, even if it's very uncomfortable and difficult to do. Because if we overdo something, we just tend to burn out faster and get stressed. And then that's what causes a lot of health problems, issues. And then it might, you know, it goes like...
I can't agree with you more. We hear those stories all the time, don't we, in the media about, you know, people who suffered burnout, you know, felt they could have it all, burned the candle at both ends, and eventually leads to burnout, and you're forced to stop. And I think that when you can see what that overwork and stressful environment, never taking a break, can do, better to try and stop at intervals that allow you longer term to carry on than be forced to stop.
Mm-hmm. I agree fully. So what would be your advice to anyone out there who is looking, you know, for some solutions, either it's mainstream medicine or holistic medicine, do you have any words of wisdom and advice?
I think that mainstream medicine is here to stay. And as I said, it has a place. And I think it's the benefit of the NHS, for example, is that it is free, for, you know, at the point of access. And it is often the first place that people will go. Mm-hmm. I think what people need to remember is that if it doesn't seem to be working, then explore further what else is available to you that you think might help you better. So the difficulty with holistic therapies in this country is that you have to pay for them and the NHS is free. But I think that you need to keep your options open. If something isn't working, then explore and look for something else. And there is so much information now on the internet on various holistic therapies. Learn and find out more. All of the major therapies have a website, a national association, where you can actually find out what various treatments are available to you. And ring a practitioner, ask them for advice. Is this the kind of therapy that might work for me? Pharmacists and doctors, they're all there for you to ask for advice. If you're worried about a symptom, they're always there to, you know, for health and advice. Right. Not sure whether I've answered your question.
Yes, you did. I mean, you know, those are just advice that we can give. Obviously, everyone, you know, is entitled to their own process and actions. It's just, you know, a form of, I would say, a good advice or tip or a little guidance for someone who might be lost a little bit at the moment.
Yeah. And I think it is hard, but I think that there are options. So if something isn't working, if you're not feeling well and you're on some kind of treatment, then explore further. What else is there available that might suit you better? And this even comes down to medicines. If there's a particular medicine that is not agreeing with you, have that discussion with whoever recommended that and help them to work with you to explore alternatives. What else is there?
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being our guest, and I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. I
enjoyed it, and I've learned some new things. So always, always grateful for new knowledge in my life.
Well, I'm glad you found it useful, and thank you once again for inviting me.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now it's time for our workout team. But before we do it, here are some valuable information from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, team. So The weather is so beautiful out there, and I'm sure majority of you don't want to be stuck inside the building, gym, or house and do their workout. No problem. The most important thing in working out or taking care of your physical health is just to be active. It doesn't always have to be 100 miles an hour running and spinning and doing crazy things or even doing certain exercises. Sometimes it's good to take care of your physical health while looking after your mental well-being, which can include go for a nice long walk. If you see the sun is shining and you just finish your work, instead of taking a bus or tube, just take a walk. Even if it's 2 or 3 miles, it's better to walk with your normal tempo, gather your thoughts, organize your brain, organize your thinking, and still actually working on your fitness health, fitness well-being. So why not walk instead of taking a public transport or even a car? Or maybe there is an option for you to change public transport for a bicycle. For example, I live quite far away from train station. So if I want to get to the city, I need to go to a train station. In order to do that, I have to take a bus. But if I wanted to get a little bit more of physical activity in, I'm gonna cycle 2 miles to the train station, leave the bicycle by the train station, and then I can take a train. That is a solution. So what I wanted to highlight here is that you don't have to always get your fitness on while by being at the gym or working out. You can actually take care of your physical well-being by doing something very basic, like walk, like jog, like just go out there and enjoy the sunshine and maybe do a few push-ups. If you're sitting on the bench in the park, why not do some tricep dips? Why not just stretch? You know, simple solutions sometimes are very essential and just much needed. So I would encourage you to think what you can replace in your daily routine in order to take care of more about your physical health. And now this is for all levels. Anyone can do it. Trust me, I'm very fit, but there are moments when that fitness doesn't help my mental health. That is something separate, and sometimes I need to take it back, take it to the basic, which is simple walk. Just simple walk home, jog home, or just have a sit in the park. Relax, look at the birds, look at the trees, just keep breathing. Practice your breathing, because we're so caught up in that crazy fast world, fast pace, that we forget about something that is the most important, which is breathing. I do that. I can admit that. I forget to focus on the right deep breathing to calm my brain, to calm my breathing, to just help me organize my thoughts and have more clarity in my head what to do next. I'm not gonna lie to you, team. Like, there are moments when I don't feel like working out at all. And those are the moments when you need to really listen to your body and think, what do I need right now? Maybe I need some rest. But in order to rest, you need to have that acceptance and allow it to happen. So I need to work on the very different things that some of you might work on. I need to sometimes work to calm down and just take the step back. Some of you perhaps need more push to go out there and do something more, but we always need to stay very much in tune with our own inner being and listen to the voice, our bodies. What does it tell us today? And because the weather is so beautiful right now, and we in spring getting into summer, I would still encourage you, instead of just being passive while you're in the park, go on a bench, do some hip dips or tricep dips, push-ups, or just sit and enjoy the breathing. That breathing will also help your metabolism. Being outdoor will help your metabolism. And metabolism is something extremely important for our calorie burn. So think about those basic solutions and let me know how you do. If you need any help, if you need any nutritional advices or any exercises, like if you have any disabilities or problems or dysfunctions, you can always message me and let me know how is it going. Let me know how you're feeling. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to open dialogue. I'm always here for you. It can happen in a very private manner. So I encourage you to just reach out. I'm here for you. Thank you for today, and I will see you next time. Holistic medicine is a term which tends to embrace the larger definition of a system of treatment and practitioners who do not work within the system of conventional medicine. A more precise definition of the term is that holism is a philosophy that believes in treating the whole person and in the integration of mind, body, and spirit. Holism promotes the belief that these three elements of human being must be treated together in order to achieve any notion of healing, rather than simply treating the person for a specific illness or injury. In the holistic belief system, illness and injury are often the results of disharmony in the mind, body, spirit, which they see as one. The disharmony can often come about from a dysfunction in any of these areas. But holistic medicine believes that a dysfunction in one area affects the whole person and not just that one area of the body. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as well as my tips for your workout. Share with me your thoughts, comments, DM me with your life stories. You can send me an email. I'm waiting for your stories. If you have any questions or you would like me to talk about anything, please let me know. Contact me, text me, DM me, send me a message, anything. Follow me on Instagram, fitnesswithnk, where you can leave your message. You can find some ideas, motivation, inspiration, and make sure you visit my website for lots of great workouts, more information about my branding, and anything else. www.nataliakotowska.com. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for tuning in, and I'm sure I will see you next time.